The Taliban's rapid advances in Afghanistan are putting international aid at further risk. Live from London, this is the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. I'm Victoria Craig. Good morning. The Taliban is continuing to close in on Afghanistan's capital, Kabul, today after taking control of Kandahar and Herat, the country's second and third cities. It's the most significant development in a string of recent victories for the militants. The group now controls a third of the country's regional capitals as the withdrawal of U.S.-led troops in Afghanistan nears completion. Now the U.K., U.S., and other countries are sending troops back into the country to help evacuate their citizens and Afghan staff who have worked alongside them. Germany has also threatened to end financial support to Afghanistan if the Taliban gains complete control of the country. That's something U.S. officials have said could happen within the next month. The BBC's Inayatollah Yassini explains where millions of dollars in financial assistance has come from over the years and how it's been distributed.
In past 20 years, we have seen in Americans, in UK, Germany, all the countries were funding Afghanistan in different sectors, NGOs, reconstruction, all these progress in last 20 years, which was made in Afghanistan. It was only possible with this huge amount of money.
And that's what I was going to say. How has all this money been used? You briefly mentioned, you know, that there are several sectors of the economy that it has gone to. So can you just break that down for us a little bit?
We have seen progress, this money which went to Afghanistan in the last 20 years. Mainly road construction was very obvious. Now there is connectivity between, if there is no fighting, subject to that, there are roads, there were airports, factories were built. But unfortunately, it is also a fact that the embezzlement and money says that due to some contract, a big chunk of money has come out of the country back to the accounts of those who were working as contractors. Yeah, a lot of warlords have also made pocketed millions of dollars.
This morning, the UK Defense Secretary has warned that a takeover by the Taliban could lead to a rise in poverty and terrorism across the country. Are these kinds of warnings from governments over financial aid sort of a start for negotiations with the Taliban, which wants to be seen as a legitimate governing power with economic support from other global powers?
The international community is already in talks with the Taliban. Yesterday was the third day meeting, and they have issued a statement calling for immediate ceasefire of violence. These statement has an impact, but unfortunately, civilians are suffering, and it will need a lot of pressure from international community. If September comes, after September, the weather will be very cold in different parts of Afghanistan, then there will be a big catastrophe if a big step is not taken by international community in terms of engaging Taliban and the government for a comprehensive solution in order to help civilian population of the country.
The BBC's Inayatollah Yassini, thank you so much for your time this morning.
Thanks for having me.
To China now, where there's growing concern today about more disruption to the global shipping industry. The country has partially closed one of the world's busiest ports, a terminal south of Shanghai, after a worker tested positive for COVID-19. The BBC's Jonathan Josephs has that story.
After identifying a positive case of COVID-19 at Ningbo Zhoushan, the Chinese authorities have taken determined steps to prevent its spreading. But this has quickly disrupted global trade, with two vessels from the French shipping line CMA-CGM forced to stay in port. The company says another three of its vessels have had to change their routes. It isn't alone in that. One shipping industry source told the BBC the situation was bad. Supply chains have already been stretched as companies continue to suffer from the disruption of the Suez Canal blockage and a COVID outbreak in June at another Chinese port.
That's the BBC's Jonathan Josephs reporting there. Well, jitters about global trade are just one of many factors hitting stock markets across Asia today. Ongoing concerns about a regulatory crackdown from the Chinese government and spread of the coronavirus Delta variant are also putting investors there on edge. The Shanghai Composite Index fell 0.25% today, while the Hang Seng in Hong Kong fell nearly 0.5%. Meanwhile, European shares are still hovering near record levels. That's thanks to upbeat corporate earnings. Benchmarks across London, Paris, and Frankfurt Frankfurt are up in the 0.2% to 0.5% range. The de facto leader of electronics giant Samsung has been released from jail today in South Korea. Lee Jae-yong served just over half of a 30-month prison sentence for corruption. The reason? He is too important to the economy to keep behind bars. That's according to the country's president, Moon Jae-in. The BBC's Laura Bicker has more on that from the capital, Seoul.
The Justice Ministry said it had made the decision to release Mr. Lee after considering the effects of the pandemic on the country's economy. His parole comes with 5 years of business restrictions, and he will need permission to work or travel. He also faces further charges of fraud and stock manipulation, and if found guilty, he could be jailed once more. His release comes as Samsung is poised to make a major investment in semiconductor facilities in the United States amid a global shortage of computer chips. The de facto leader of the world's biggest memory chip maker was convicted of bribing a close friend of the former president, Park Geun-hye. The scandal reignited public outrage in South Korea about the cozy relationship between government and big business, a link the current president has promised to sever.
That's the BBC's Laura Bicker reporting from Seoul there. Finally, the latest installment of the Lord of the Rings TV series, set to be released next year, will be filmed here in Britain. It's a set change for the Amazon-produced show, which has already spent more than $460 million filming in New Zealand. And it's a decision the New Zealand government has called disappointing after the nation's dramatic landscapes used in the Lord of the Rings and the Hobbit film trilogies helped draw tourism and investment dollars from all around the world. Amazon is expected to make four more seasons of the program in the UK as the company looks to expand its production space here. In London, I'm Victoria Craig with the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service.
With access to so much information, it's hard to feel like an informed, discerning citizen. That's why on Make Me Smart, which is a podcast from Marketplace, we make it easy for you to stay in the know. Hi, I'm Kai Rizdahl. Every weekday, Kimberly Adams and I unpack the latest from Washington, D.C.
The Senate Minority Leader has announced that he will step down as the Republican leader.
What's happening in AI? I mean, don't buy at the top, but holy cow, artificial intelligence and all the companies related to it are the hot new thing. And we do the numbers.
So as a refresher, inflation is the rate of increase in the prices of things. It's not just sort of things getting more expensive. It's the speed at which things get more expensive.
Because in a world that's constantly changing, we all need to stay smart. Listen to Make Me Smart wherever you get your podcasts.